Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's the 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for the day we known as Thursday, October 4th.
Yes, 10-4.
It is 10-4, isn't it?
10-4, baby, yeah.
I used to, right when I was younger, Smokey and the Bandit 2 had come out.
Okay.
And I remember saving my money. That's when you would, you know, you go to the flyer would come in class and you'd buy books, the Scholastic books.
Oh, really?
And one of them was the CB code, like the tens, what 10-4 means,
yeah.
And 10-10. I bought that thing. I studied it like more than I should have.
Did you listen to the police scanner?
Yeah.
Did you have a handle?
I did not. I'm sure I did. I just can't remember it.
I was here in the CB days. I remember I was in college, and I was the wild turkey.
The wild turkey?
Oh, yes, sir.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, thank you very much. I got
you
better.
You wild turkey.
I got better.
Hey, Toys R Us is not going away. Good news.
Jeffrey.
Actually making a comeback. The creditors from the bankrupt company says they're rethinking. They were at an auction.
Yeah, they were going to auction off the assets, and in the middle of the auction, they said, wait a minute. I think our brand could still sell. I mean, Christmas is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
At least wait till after that.
Well, and it's, you know, it is. Everybody grew up with Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you, maybe with new management and new ways of working, maybe online, it'll actually work for them. And I agree. I think that there is some money to be made with the name Toys R Us.
You know, they actually want
it. Especially not with the stunt. They're like, you know, having said they're going out of business and then coming back, it's like, I feel like they're going to have business tenfold because people are going to be excited about their return.
People have been talking about them for a long time because they're going out of business. Actually, one of the names they were thinking of instead of Toys R Us was Jeffrey's Toy Box, named after their mascot, Giraffe.
Yeah.
No, you've got too much branding in Toys R Us. Go with that. Even though your R is backwards, we're going to give you that.
That's right, for sure. All right, Americans, we love fast food. Give me more fries. Center for Disease Control and Prevention said basically that about 40% of Americans eat fast food on any day of the week.
And we want our airplane seats wider.
Get to the Whopper.
Yeah. Yeah, they say that most of us are eating ages between 20 and 39 seems to be the most likely to say that they've been eating fast food. Almost 45% of them saying that on a daily basis. Followed by those in their 40s and 50s and then those over the 60, about 25% doing fast food.
All right.
They say, which is really interesting, is a surprise finding, is that it really doesn't come to income. You tend to think that if you don't have a lot of money, you eat more fast food because it's cheaper.
Right.
It doesn't matter. In fact, people that have money are keeping it and eating it fast food.
It's kind of
it's
addictive.
Interesting. I think you said it earlier. I think it has to do with our lifestyle, too. You know, everybody's just so rushed that you get to the point where you're like, okay, I'll just drive through. It's quicker. It's easier. We're working later. That type of thing. So, and then by the time you're in your 60s and the percentage goes down, it's because you finally figured out you should probably start to get healthy before you die.
Well, it was kind of like over the weekend, I went food shopping hungry, which was a bad call.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting a delicious box of pumpkin spice flavored cookies that were delicious.
Oh.
Okay.
How many made them home?
All of them made it home.
They all made it home. Okay.
They didn't survive in my house for more than 24 hours.
I understand.
Let's see. You got in your purse. You got some money. You got your ID, credit card.
Moms will have mints and a Band-Aid or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perhaps move the bottle of shaving cream out of the way.
Wait a minute.
Shaving cream.
Yeah. So come to find out, besides minimalizing razor burn and rashes, shaving cream actually turns out to be a pretty good stain remover.
Huh.
There is, I guess, because of its soapy and foamy nature.
Yeah, we're talking about the foaming one, not the gel.
Okay,
yeah,
it's like traditional like Barbasol type stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like stuff your daddy used.
It actually works pretty well on getting makeup off of your shirt collars. You put a little dab on there, let it sit for about 30 minutes, and it should be gone.
Right, okay.
That's pretty cool. They also talk about how you can use it to soak overnight to get rid of some tough stains, like maybe coffee on the carpet type thing. So it's worth trying, and you don't have that nasty smell of the Tide Pen.
And if you think, spilling coffee on yourself on the way to work, the Tide Pen's not really going to do the job. So maybe you can spend 30 minutes soaking your blouse.
If it doesn't fit in your purse, then you at least keep it in your glove box or something. You can run out to your car.
Yeah, and they say, by the way, get the travel sizes. They're not talking like the big can, small size.
Maybe it could double over as a weapon if somebody attacks you. That's true. Go on with the shaving cream can.
Very true.
Freeze! Don't make me foam you.
Hey, so Halloween's coming up. What was it, 27 days?
Yeah, from today, October the 4th is 27 days
away. All right. So let's talk about our dogs, our pets, because it can be kind of a stressful time for them because we're wanting them to be in a costume.
Right.
We're going to have people hitting the doorbell, knocking on the door, asking for treats and candy. So here's some advice from pet experts on what you do to prepare your dog for Halloween. First off, candy dish. Keep it well out of the range of the dogs and the cats because chocolate is deadly to both dogs and cats, as well as xylitol, Z-Y-L-I-T-O-L. That's a sugar substitute used in a lot of candies. It can be very damaging to the livers of dogs.
That's pronounced xylitol.
Xylitol, excuse me. Also, some information here is make sure that you, if you have like a lot of candles out more than normal, realize that tails wag.
Waggy the dog.
Yeah. And cats push things off counters.
Yes, all the time. So, you know, kind of keep that in perspective. And then not all pets love getting dressed up.
No.
And here's the thing is start now. Slowly introduce them. Have them wear the costume for 10 minutes. Then the next day for 20 minutes, build them up so they're comfortable around it. Make sure that the holes are open enough or it's not choking them or
anything. They got to be able to
see. Don't make them wear ears for like 5 hours straight while you're drinking at a party flirting with someone.
Yeah. Has that ever happened or are you asking for
not to me. I know that's a very specific reference, but I have seen it happen with other people's animals.
And then also if you have a skittish dog, you know, with all the kids knocking on the door, you might want to put them in a separate room just so they don't bolt out when you open the door for trick-or-treaters. This was a fun story, I thought, because we have a lot. We think of weddings as full of traditions, and they are full of traditions. But what are the traditions? Where they came from? It's kind of ominous.
Yeah, they're sweet and they're beautiful nowadays, but where did they all come from? Like a bridesmaid, they all dress in the same hideous dress. Why is that, Chris?
That is true. And it goes back to what they think is some ancient Roman China days, basically because villages were small. And in essence, if you wanted to marry outside your own family, you had to travel to the next village.
Yeah.
So if you met your groom-to-be or husband-to-be and you had to travel, you wanted to be somewhat in disguise for protection and so you would blend in. So they wouldn't know who the bride is or who isn't the bride.
So you had some ringers.
Yeah, you have basically clones or decoys put into the group. So that's why they
all dress alike, so they don't know which one to kidnap.
Now, the best man, I had heard this from a while ago, is the best man was actually the person on the lookout when you would go steal a wife from another village.
Yeah, when they come to try to get her back.
With their pitchforks and torches.
Oh yeah, and what's he best at?
He's best, supposedly, is to wielding a sword or a weapon.
So you want the best man who's not just your best friend. It's the guy who's really good with a sword. So when you're stealing the woman, they won't steal her back.
That's great.
Yeah, white wedding dress. We tend to think that that's been around since the beginning of time. That's not really true. It actually started with Britain's Queen Victoria. When she married Prince Albert in 1840, she started a new tradition but ended one, and that turned out to be quite the talk of the town at the time because prior to Queen Victoria wearing white, people just kind of wore their best shirt or dress.
Yeah, in Asia, they still wear red.
Red is the color of it, yeah. Right. So she started a new tradition there. They also started the tradition of putting bouquets of flowers because the bouquet originally was made of herbs and spices to ward off evil spirits. But Queen Victoria used Prince Albert's favorite flower in her bouquet. Plus, when you toss the bouquet, it actually is kind of a diversionary tactic because back in Queen Victoria's day is when you wanted you were at a wedding and you wanted to wish them good luck, you would take a piece of the wedding dress.
So what we do is we rip the wedding dress off the bride after it's all over.
Imagine like a piece of like a chicken going in a piranha pool, coming off of the beach.
Well, that's how it is now when women chase after the bouquet itself. I feel like it's a football
game.
Tackle pile.
Yeah, turns into a hockey game.
So that's why the tossing of the bouquet came into play. This is something I couldn't really mention on the air. I'm going to mention it to you because we're on the podcast, but talked about the garter belt.
Yeah.
So a lot of times how that came about was that you, in those times they needed to consummate the marriage.
Uh-huh.
That was proof that the marriage had been consummated if the guy had the garter belt.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the brass ring, so to speak.
Another one, which didn't make the air, was why the father walks the bride down the aisle.
Uh-huh.
That was back in the days when marriages were made more as a business deal.
Ah, okay. So, to make sure she did.
Yeah, the father had his hand out.
To literally hand her over.
Yeah, and pick up that cash.
I get a purse of monies when I turn you over.
So that's how that happened. Yeah. So, and then, of course, the honeymoon, today we look at it as a way to take a break from all the months of planning. But in essence, goes back to that time when you stole your wife and you needed to hide her while the
family, they're looking for her.
Yeah, exactly.
So you kept her under wraps until, one, they quit looking, or two, she's pregnant.
Yeah, because once she's pregnant, there's no going back.
You're off the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and, you know, there used to be a thing back in the British days where the king got the first night. The first evening with the wife, the king would do that duty.
It was his royal pleasure.
That's what it was.
And then finally,
good to be the king.
A good reason to be pessimistic is if you want to start a business, being a pessimist really good.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, they say that nearly half of new businesses collapse within their first 5 years because you're optimistic. Most of us are optimistic when you talk about this, but when it comes to business, you may be a little bit more mistaken about the good business opportunity. You may overstate it, and therefore that's kind of bad. So
you're kind of fooling yourself too a little bit when you're overly optimistic.
I mean, scrutiny and being conservative and just really being cautious, that's not always bad.
That's not always bad, and it's actually very good if you're trying to start your own business, because then you can be realistic. How much money am I going to lose?
Well, I mean, realistically too, you can't expect it. I mean, if you're in the black in the first year, that's something, because usually you do lose money right out of the gate.
Yeah, I had a friend who had a business one time, and she wrote on her taxes that she made a profit. And she was like, that was a stiff check to write.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I don't know much about business, but I do know for small businesses, you're never supposed to make money.
Yeah. Rule number one.
Yeah, your business always loses money.
Yeah. Rule number two, see rule number one.
So there's our show for today, Thursday, October 4th. Of course, we're on the air live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK.
ABC,
Have a great day, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.